Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to podcast number 11 of my Macintosh series. I've had Snow Leopard installed for a week now, and I had mentioned in podcast number 10 when we did the install that I planned on doing a podcast talking about and demonstrating all of the new features in VoiceOver for Snow Leopard. And a lot of you have sent me emails saying that you're definitely interested in that podcast, and you're looking forward to it, and that's much appreciated. So, here we are. On this podcast, I'm going to be focusing on the new features of VoiceOver in Snow Leopard. Now, a lot of what has been demonstrated previously still applies. That really hasn't changed, but Apple's done a number of improvements, and I'm going to show you those. There are a couple of issues which hopefully will be fixed in a operating system update. Nothing that prevents you from using it, certainly. It's minor things, but I will make you aware of them. And there are a couple of actual features that they've implemented that I don't know what I think about them. I guess in some ways they could be good, but in some ways I'm a little concerned about them. And I'll point those out to you as we go along here. One thing I want to mention, too, as far as setting your system preferences and that type of thing and things you can change in Snow Leopard, that is the same as it was in Leopard. So I think it was podcast number 6 or 7, one of those, where I covered changing the system preferences and things you may want to tweak on the Mac in Leopard. And in Snow Leopard, that hasn't changed. That's all the same. So you can refer back to that. And we are going to be spending some time in the VoiceOver utility in this podcast. That's where you change the VoiceOver settings. And a lot of that is the same, too. And what I'm going to be focusing on here is the new features that are in that utility. A lot of it is the same. And again, if you're starting out with VoiceOver and maybe you're wanting to know more about that utility in general, you may want to refer back to, I think it's podcast either 2 or 3. One of those where I covered that, and I mentioned in the beginning what I cover, so you can refer back to that for a more general overview. So this podcast again could get kind of long. There's a lot of new features that Apple has added, so you may want to grab something to drink and a snack and come along with me as we explore the new VoiceOver features. And there are some really nice ones. Let me kind of give you a summary of what is new with this release of VoiceOver, and then we will take a look at them in more detail. Verbosity is a new feature. You now have three default verbosity levels, high, medium, and low, and that allows you to set how much speech feedback you get. And those are just kind of presets. You can actually go in and set for each element how much verbosity you hear. And there's a high, medium, and low option there, and a custom. So that does get pretty advanced. You can customize how much information you hear, and you can customize the order that it's spoken in. So if you come to a checkbox, for instance, I don't know, like in Safari, there's a checkbox, display images when a page loads. You can have it say, checked checkbox, display images when the page loads, or checked, display images when a page loads, checkbox, or the default, display images when a page loads, checkbox. So you can not only customize how much is spoken, but you can customize the order of what is spoken. So the control, the status, the text of the control, you can change all of that. And it can get a little advanced to do that, but anytime you get, you know, a feature like that, there's really no easy way that I would know of to make that really simple. I mean, it's doable, certainly, but it is a bit, you know, advanced, I would say. And I'll show you that here in just a few minutes. Another feature, if you have one of the new MacBooks with the multi-touch trackpad, you can control VoiceOver with the trackpad. And those of you who use the iPhone will be very familiar with that. The gestures are very similar. to what is done on the iPhone. For example, you flick left or right to move to the next and previous, well, left goes to the previous item, right goes to the next item. And you double tap the trackpad to select the item or activate the item. And there's lots of other gestures, too, that are, you know, default voiceover gestures. But again, the iPhone users should find that very familiar. So that's a new feature. Another feature that probably will be most appreciated by MacBook users, although you can certainly use this one on desktops also, so I'll be able to show you this one, it's called Quick Nav. In Leopard, when you were using the keyboard, if you didn't have a numeric keypad, and that would be particular on, you know, some of the MacBooks, you'd have to either hold the control and the option keys and press, you know, left and right arrow, or you'd have to do the control option lock. And what that does is it holds the control and the option keys down, essentially. And that was a little less tedious, but then you had to remember to press control option semicolon to release that lock when you wanted to type in a text field or something to that effect. So it was a little cluttered, a little convoluted, I think, for MacBooks. So what this feature does now is it allows you to use the arrow keys without holding the control and the option keys, and it allows you to interact with items and select items without holding the control and the option keys, but the only keys that it applies to is the arrow keys. The letter keys and that kind of thing is not affected. So in theory, you could have that on, and the only time you would need to really turn that off is if you wanted to navigate using the insertion point, you know, character by character. Otherwise, you could leave that on. So that makes it much easier for MacBook users. The numeric keypad, by default, has been completely redone, the default layout. They've added many more features. Pretty much every feature, I think, can now be done on the numeric keypad without having to redefine them. Now, I've changed mine a little bit. I had kind of my own layout that I had in Leopard, and I've changed it a little bit. But the defaults that they give you will certainly allow you to do much more without having to redefine the keys. There's a new feature called the Keyboard Commander. What this is, if there's certain things that you use a lot and you don't want to do that with a control option keystroke, and maybe, again, you don't have a number pad, you can define voiceover commands to perform an action just by holding the option key and pressing a letter. And you can even define some things that don't have any key assignment. And I'm going to show you that. We'll do one here when we get to the part about the web, because there's quite a bit of new additions for the web browsing. So you can have this perform a voiceover command. You can have it do an Apple script. And you can even have it open an application. Now, this is one of those that I'm a little concerned about it, I guess. The part where you can set a key in VoiceOver to open an application. That is something, in my opinion, I don't think really belongs in a screen reader. The screen reader's job is to make the computer accessible, and to open an application, I think at least, you know, one should open it the way anyone else does, because if people start setting up a lot of these keystrokes to open commands, or has it set up by someone, and then you go to a computer where it's not defined that way, you're kind of lost. So that's just my opinion, but I don't think opening an application and the ability to do that really belongs in a screen reader. But again, that's just me. The same thing with the Apple script. It can be a good feature, certainly. VoiceOver can be controlled by Apple scripts. You can set option keys to run Apple scripts. And that's fine, I suppose, if it's used just to make things easier. However, it's always been the philosophy of the Macintosh that accessibility really belongs with the application developer, and that's where I think it should be. So if it can be used to enhance stuff, I suppose that's okay, but I guess I'm a little concerned that VoiceOver is starting to head down the Windows path a little bit. The Windows screen readers have become fairly reliant on scripts. Well, JAWS more than WindowEyes, certainly. WindowEyes will work without them, and you can do some pretty powerful things in Windowize, but there it's like if an application isn't accessible, a lot of times what do? You script for it. And that really, in my opinion at least, it removes the responsibility from the application developer where it really should be. Now, having said that, I realize ideally that's the way it should be, but some application developers simply, for whatever reason, don't make their programs accessible, and they're not going to. And in that case, for employment and that type of thing, you may have to rely on scripts. It's not the preferred way of doing things, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do. But I hope that VoiceOver is not going to become too dependent on that. And at this point, it doesn't look like they are, but it's something to think about, at least, I think. But again, that's just my opinion. And certainly you don't have to use the scripts. There's a checkbox that sets whether VoiceOver can be controlled by Apple scripts, and for me at least, I've disabled that. I have no, you know, really interest in doing scripts at this point in time. But it's available should you want to experiment with it. Okay, so some other new features. The web has really been enhanced. This is probably the biggest change. VoiceOver now provides you with a lot more information. There are many more options you can set for how VoiceOver works on the web, and really, there's too many of those for me to list here, so we'll get to that when we cover it. The web rotor is a new feature that I will mention. In Leopard, when you pressed Control-Option-U, you got a list of links, and you could certainly use the Item Chooser menu, but now pressing Control-Option-U gives you much more. They call it the web rotor. You can get a list of links, headings, form fields, visited links, unvisited links. So that's a new thing. Web spots are a new feature, which I'll show you. I actually haven't played with that yet, so that'll be new as you listen to this as well as it will be for me. But you can set different places on a web page and jump to those places easily. And you can also set what's called a sweet spot. If you go to certain pages and you want your VoiceOver cursor to always start at a certain place, you can do that. And there's also something called sweet spot, or auto web spots. And what this is, on each page that you load, VoiceOver analyzes the page and tries to determine places where you are most likely to want to go to and creates what's called auto web spots. And you can go, you know, to those, to the next and previous auto web spot. And it usually guesses right of places of interest, but if it doesn't, certainly you've got plenty of other navigation options available, and you don't have to use that feature if you don't want to. It's completely optional. So those are, that's a summary of the new features that I can think of. I'm trying to think if I've forgotten anything. There's a couple other miscellaneous options in the VoiceOver utility that I'll show you as far as whether it automatically interacts with an item when you tab to it and that type of thing, and I'll show you those when we get there. But those are all of the major new features that I can think of. So let's go into the VoiceOver utility, and I will show you the new features there first, and then we'll actually go onto the web and do some things and really put some of the new features through its paces. So I'm sitting on the desktop. I've booted up my Mac. Let's go into the VoiceOver utility, and that's done with Control-Option F8.
Opening VoiceOver Utility, VoiceOver Utility, Window, VoiceOver Utility, okay, Utility Category.
I'll stop the speech. All right, I'm going to go ahead and navigate this with the VoiceOver cursor. You can tab through it also, but that way we make sure we get all of the text and that type of thing between each control, if there are any. So let's go ahead and go to the top here.
Utility Categories, Table, One Row Selected, Column, One of One, General.
Okay, so you notice there it says column 1 of 1, so it gives you the column numbers now and that type of thing. That's a new feature also. It will also provide you hints for the control that you're on if you have that feature enabled. Oh, one other feature I did forget to mention, yes. You can label buttons that are not labeled by default, and I will show you that in Skype. There's a couple of buttons that aren't labeled, and I'll show you how you can label those. So, to hear the hint, though, also for a control, we're sitting on this table. If you press Control-Option F3, that tells you what's in the VoiceOver cursor, and it will also read the hint. So let's go ahead and do that.
Utility Categories, Table, is in the VoiceOver cursor. You are currently on a table. To enter this table, press Control, Option, Shift, down arrow.
So that's the hint. And you can set those hints to automatically be spoken, but whenever you press Control, Option, F3, it will tell you that. So there are some items, I think, in the general category that we can look at. So let's just, I'm going to use my numpad here because I'm using the numpad commander. Let's do numpad 6 and move through this.
Speak the following greeting after login. Welcome to macOS 10. VoiceOver is running. Edit text content selected.
Okay, that was in Leopard also, I think.
Display welcome dialog when VoiceOver starts. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, that, if you did listen to Podcast 10, that's the option asking you if you want to do the VoiceOver tutorial and that type of thing, which I did show you in the last podcast, so we won't do the tutorial again in this one.
Portable preferences off image. Portable preferences off. Portable preferences let you take your VoiceOver preferences with you wherever you go. Setup button. The help tab is Setup Portable Preferences.
Okay, so that's another new feature you can turn on or off, is whether or not it reads the help tag of an item. And I've kept this on for a couple of reasons, because sometimes controls aren't labeled with a text label, but they do have a help tag. And in that case, you can determine what it is without just hearing a button, without having to press a command to read the help tag. The other thing is on the web, if you have that enabled, VoiceOver will actually give you the title tag and the alt tag of a link now. So in some ways, you can actually get more feedback than what you get from the window screen readers. And sometimes the title and the alt tags are actually different on a page. So it's probably good to keep that enabled, and I'll show you that option when we get to it.
Allow VoiceOver to be controlled with AppleScript. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, that's a new feature. If you want to experiment with AppleScripts, you'll want to go ahead and check that. I've decided not to play with that at this point in time, so I've unchecked that. And I think it's unchecked by default, actually, and I've left it that way. But if you want to experiment with that, you'd want to go ahead and check that.
Help button, help button.
Okay, so that's all that's in the general category. So there were a couple of new options there. All right, let's go back to the table here.
Utility categories, table, one row selected, column, one of one, Jeff, verbosity.
Verbosity, this is a big one. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at what we've got here.
General, selected tab, one of four.
Okay, there's a lot of tabs in this. Let's go ahead and see what's in the general, if there's anything new there.
Hint, default verbosity.
Okay, this is all new.
Hi, default verbosity. Pop-up button.
Okay, so that's
the help tab is choose how much detail is spoken when describing an item.
Okay, so that's the scheme. You can set verbosity high, medium, or low, and I've left mine on high. But then we can customize each individual element, and I'll show you how that's done here.
Details, collapsed disclosure triangle.
Okay, details. That's a collapsed disclosure triangle. Let's go ahead and expand that.
Expand, details, collapsed disclosure triangle. Details, custom verbosity, table, no selection.
Okay, that's the table we need to be on, and our keyboard focus is already on it now, so we can just use the up and down arrow keys here.
Window, default menu button,
okay,
status, type, name, row okay. 33 of 33.
Okay, let's go to the top of this. We press, option up arrow, I think, will take us to the top.
Application, custom menu button, name, status. Row 1 of 33.
Okay, application. So then it says name and status. That's what will be spoken, and that's the order that will be spoken. Let's go down to a control type. That's where I can really show you how this works.
Button. Default menu button. Name. Status. Type. Row 2 of 33.
Okay, I've left that at the default. Name, status, and type. So what that would be, name would be what the button is, like OK, cancel, that type of thing. Status, there can be a status, I think, like a default or something like that, and then type is the type of control button. Now, if we wanted to change that, we can just press the space bar here.
Menu, five items, default, low, medium, high.
So default, low, medium, high.
Custom,
or
ellipsis.
Custom. Let's go into custom, and it says ellipsis, which means it opens a dialog box.
Interact with press dialog enter. For window.
And we're in a dialog box. Let's just read this dialog.
Select a checkbox to enable or disable a description. To reorder the descriptions, use command, up arrow and command, down arrow.
Okay, so that would allow us to control what's spoken and the order.
Description order, table, no selection.
So description order, okay. So again, we're on a table here.
Type, check, status, name, check, checkbox.
Okay, so name is first. Again, that's the description. So that's okay, cancel, that type of thing. So if we wanted to move that down, we could press Command down here. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to change these, but I'll show you how it's done. The next one?
Status. Check checkbox.
Status. That's, I assume, like the default button or selected button. Selected, that would be the status.
Type. Check checkbox.
And type would be the type. Again, a button, that type of thing. Now, there are some controls or some elements where you would not want the type spoken. For example, text. There is a setting in here for text. That's a category, and for that, you probably would want to have type unchecked. You probably would not want it saying text after every single block of just text. It's not a control. So there are times when you can't actually have too much if you enable these, but most of these, what I've got set is everything checked to get as much, you know, feedback as possible, because certainly you can press the control key to stop it if it's too much for you. Okay, let's press escape to get out of this custom dialog.
Custom verbosity table, one row selected.
And let's move on through the dialog. That's kind of how the verbosity works, though.
Help button.
Okay, that's all for that tab. So let's go back to the top here.
Utility cap general, select text, tab 2 of 4.
Text. Let's see if anything's new in there.
Press text, tab 2 of 4. And hint, punctuation.
Okay, punctuation, that was in previous versions.
None, repeated punctuation, first three
so
times.
So is that.
While typing speak. Characters, while typing.
Okay, that's all the same as it was in Leopard.
When moving the cursor. Speak text, the cursor passes. When moving the cursor. Pop-up button.
All right.
The help tab is, choose which words to speak when navigating.
Okay, this one is another one. I'm not sure what I think about it. I've explained this, I think, a little bit in previous podcasts, but let me kind of summarize it again. The way the Macintosh works with editing text is a little bit different than the way Windows screen readers do it. Actually, the editing is the same, it's just the way the screen readers do it. On the Macintosh, when you press like the right or left arrow key, when you press the right arrow, the cursor moves to the right of a character. When you press the left arrow, the cursor moves to the left of that same character. So, by default, VoiceOver will say the same character. Matter of fact, we can keep the VoiceOver utility open. Let's go into text edit, and I'll show you this. So let's Command Tab here back to the Finder.
Finder.
And I'm going to press Control F3 to go to the dock.
Dock. Finder. Running. One.
Press T.
Text edit.
For text edit. And oh, that's under a feature. You'll notice it says 11 of 21. It now gives you a count of the items. So if you find that useful, that information is available. All right, we're on text edit. Let's press enter.
Text edit. Window. Untitled. Edit text.
All right, let's just type. I don't even need a whole lot of text. Can we type, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party? Well, just now is the time even would work for what we're going to demonstrate here. So I'm just going to type that.
N-O-D-O-S-P-A-S-P-A-S-P-A-M-E.
Okay. Now, what we've got is the cursor should be
bottom of document. Now is the time.
Yes, it's bottom of document. That's under new feature. It tells you bottom and top of document. The cursor is to the right of the E now. Now, if I press the left arrow, the cursor is going to move to the left of the E, and then if I continue to press the left arrow, the cursor is going to be to the left of the character that's spoken. So let's just do that here. Press left arrow.
E-M-I-T.
All right, the cursor is to the left now of the T. Now, if I press the right arrow key, the T is going to be spoken first because, even though I already spoke to you, because what's going to happen is the cursor is going to move then to the right of the T. So it's passing back over the T and going to the other side of it. And then if we right arrow, then the cursor is to the right of the character that's spoken. So I'll do that now.
T-I-M-E.
Okay, so now we're back on the right of the E. And that's a little bit different than the way the Windows screen readers do it. The way the Windows screen readers do it is they tell you whether you move right or left, they always tell you what's to the right of the cursor. And I will switch that now so you can see. And I think it does it with words, too. Let's see. If we use the option left and right arrow key here, again, pressing option and right will move the cursor to the end of a word. Pressing option left will move the cursor to the beginning of the word. So we're at the end of time. If I do option left arrow.
Time. The is.
OK, Okay, is, and then the. Now if I press the option right arrow, is going to be spoken again, because it's going to move the cursor to the end of the word is. Right now it's on the beginning.
Is the time.
So now we're back on the end, and if I were to press option left arrow,
time
is spoken again, because the cursor was at the end and it moves to the beginning. If we change this setting, let me command tab back to the VoiceOver utility.
Finder, VoiceOver utility. When move speak text, the cursor passes. When moving the cursor, pop-up
button. Okay, if we select that option, it'll give us a little menu here.
Menu. Two items. Speak text to the right of the cursor.
Speak text to the right of the cursor.
Closing menu.
Press enter to select that. What this essentially does is it makes it function more like how the Windows screen readers do things. So if we command tab back to text edit,
window.
Now if we do option right arrow.
Bottom of document.
And now if I press the option left arrow.
The.
It says the, and if I press the option right arrow.
Time.
See, the cursor now is at the end of time. Okay. Now if I press option left arrow.
The.
It says the, because what it is, the cursor is still on the left. It's on the left side of the word time, but what VoiceOver is doing is it's speaking the text that the cursor is to the right of, basically. So it functions more like the Windows screen readers. So if we use the moving by character, also,
bottom
I'll just
document.
Do that. Move back to the end here. If we just press
space, T I M E,
and now if I press the left arrow,
E M. I M I T I M.
See, it doesn't really repeat it because it's speaking what's to the right. So my concern of this is that, again, you know, if someone sets it this way and another computer is not set that way, now you could, you know, of course, take your preferences with you, but it's better, I think it's better to learn, you know, how the Macintosh does things from the start, I guess, and stick with that rather than having the screen reader, you know, change things for you. Now, the Windows screen readers, all of them do work this way. You know, they give you the text to the right. So in that case, there's not a whole lot you can change. But the Mac, you know, VoiceOver is giving you a truer sense, I think, by default of what the cursor is actually doing. So I guess for new people that are going to the Mac from Windows, it might be beneficial. But again, my suggestion is, you know, learn how the Mac does it initially, without changing that. That's really the best way and the best way to do it, I think. But that's just my opinion. But I'm going to go ahead and change it back to the default. I'm going to go ahead and exit out of text edit here. Command Q.
Quit text edit. Cancel. Set. Don't save.
And we don't have to save that.
Closing VoiceOver utility window.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and change this back to the
default. Moving speak text to the right of the cursed menu. Two items. Speak text. The cursor passes. Closing
that's
menu.
We want. Okay. So that's that feature too that I wanted to show you.
When text attributes change, do nothing. When text attributes change, pop up button. The help tab is choose how to announce style attributes in spoken text.
Okay, so that's if you want to know like bold, italic, underline, that type of thing, and you can enable that. And there's a saying to enable that too without going into the VoiceOver utility. You can do that also with Control Option Command left and right arrow. Well, I'm sorry, Control-Option-V actually will do that. Control-Option-V will allow you to set the verbosity without going into the VoiceOver utility.
When encountering a misspelled word, speak attributes. When encountering a misspelled word, pop-up button. The help tab is, choose how to announce misspelled words in spoken text.
Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. That was in Leopard also, I think.
When encountering a link, speak link. When encountering
that
a link.
That was in Leopard also.
Read numbers as words. Read numbers when reading a capital letter. Change pitch. When deleting text, do nothing. When deleting text.
Do nothing means basically saying deleted and that type of thing. It still speaks the character you delete.
Words are separated by punctuation.
And that was all in Leopard.
Help button.
So, okay, let's go to the next tab.
Utility, general, text, announcements, tab 3 of 4.
Okay, there's a couple of new things in here that I'll show you.
Press announcements, tab, hit. Announce when mouse cursor enters a window.
Okay, that was in Leopard.
Announce when a modifier key is pressed.
And that was too.
Announce when the caps lock key is pressed.
That was in Leopard.
Speak header when navigating across a table row.
That was also in Leopard.
Automatically speak text in dialog boxes. Check.
And that was in Leopard
when
also.
When status text changes under VoiceOver cursor.
Okay, this is new. When status text changes under VoiceOver cursor, this would be like if you're doing a backup or something to that effect, you know, how much data has been copied, that type of thing. You now have several options. Let's take a look at them.
Speak text. When status text changes under VoiceOver cursor, pop-up button.
Okay, speak text. Now, that's how I have mine set. You may or may not want to do that, because if you leave your VoiceOver cursor on the item, it's probably going to stutter as the text changes. So you do have some other options available to you, and I'll show you what they are.
Menu. 3, do nothing.
Do nothing.
Play tone.
Or you can have it play a tone if you have the sounds enabled. I've turned off the sounds on mine, but again, that's a personal preference. If you have the sounds enabled, and this was how it was on when we did the install for Snow Leopard, you'll remember, it kind of did those clicks to let you know that it's moving. So, but I've got mine set to speak, because sometimes it, you know, if the text, if it has enough time to speak it on a download window too, that's another place where it'll do that. You know, there may be enough time for it to ascertain it. And if you don't want to hear any more of it, you simply move your VoiceOver cursor away from the item then, so you're not, you know, stuck hearing that with that with no choice. But I'm going to leave mine on speak, the new text.
Closing menu.
Close that menu here.
When progress indicator changes under VoiceOver cursor.
Okay, you've got the same option here. Progress indicator, that's like the percentage, you know, 50%, 60%.
Speak update. When progress indicator changes.
You can have it speak the update.
Menu. 3 items. Do nothing.
Do nothing.
Play tone.
Or play a tone. And again, I'm going to leave it
menu.
At speak the update.
Speak size and position in.
Okay, speak size and position. This is new. You can have it speak in metric, pixels, or inches, like the size of a window, that type of thing. And I've got mine set to inches.
Inches. Speak size and position in. Pop-up button.
And again, that's a personal choice.
Speak text under mouse after delay.
Okay, that was in Leopard also.
0.4 second, short, long, help button.
All right, let's go to the last tab in Verbosity here.
Utility, general, and hints, tab 4.
Hints, this is new.
Press hints, tab 404. Speak instructions for using the item in the VoiceOver cursor, uncheck checkbox.
If you want to hear that hint, like you are currently on a checkbox, you know, to do this, you know, well, let's see what this hint is, just for fun. We'll do Control-Option F3.
Speak instructions for using the item in the VoiceOver cursor. Uncheck checkbox is in the VoiceOver cursor. You are currently on a checkbox. To select or deselect this checkbox, press Control-Option space.
Now, if you just want the hint for an item, and you have the automatic speaking off, you can get that without pressing, you know, Control-Option F3 to hear what's in the VoiceOver cursor. And that is Control-Option Shift N, I believe.
You are currently on a checkbox. To select or deselect this checkbox, press Control, Option, Space.
Yeah, and speaking of checkboxes, what they've also added in this version of VoiceOver, in Leopard, when you pressed the space bar to check or uncheck an item, that's a Mac OS, you know, keyboard command, it would not speak the status. It would only speak the status if you use the VoiceOver command to do it. With Snow Leopard, they've added that, so now it speaks when you press the space bar, and we can do that.
Check. Speak instructions for using the item in the VoiceOver cursor. Unchecked. Speak instructions for using the item in the VoiceOver cursor.
So that's a new little addition also.
When an item has a help tag. Speak help tag. When an item has a help tag. Pop-up button.
And
the help tag is, choose how to announce an item's help tag.
Yes, and I've got that set automatically. I think there's only 2 items here. Let's see.
Menu. 3 items.
Oh, there's 3. Okay.
Do nothing. Speak notification. Check mark. Speak help tag.
Okay, speak help tag is what I've got, and you can also set a delay.
Speak hints after delay. 0.4 seconds. Speak hints after delay. Slider. The short. Long help button.
Oh, there was a help tag for that too. Let's see what it was.
Launch. 0.4 seconds. Speak hints after delay. Slider. The help tag is, set how long to wait before hints are spoken.
And that applies to the hints and the help tags. And, of course, you can turn off and on hints and help tags independently. I've got mine set to speak it as quick as possible because a lot of times the help tags will provide you extra information. And if you don't want that, of course, you don't have to wait for that. You can continue navigating. Okay, so that's the new stuff in Verbosity. A lot of new stuff there.
Utility category.
Let's see what else we've got here. I'm going to go back to the table.
Speech.
Okay, speech. There's a couple of new things in here, I think.
Voices. Selected tab 1 of 2.
Okay, that's all pretty much the same, I think.
Pronunciation tab 2 of 2.
I don't think there's too much stuff we really need to look at here. This is all in Leopard, I believe.
Mute speech. Unchecked checkbox.
No, I don't think we want to do that.
Category. Voice. Rate. Pitch. Volume. Intonation. Collapsed disclosure triangle.
Okay, that's a new feature to intonation. You could set that in Leopard, but it wouldn't save the setting.
Default.
But with Snow Leopard, you can change that now, and the intonation will save. So that's the only really new feature here, and you got pronunciation. That was in Leopard also. So let's go to the next category.
Utility cap navigation.
Okay, navigation. There's a couple of new and changed things in here.
Keyboard focused item. Initial position of voiceover cursor. Keyboard focused. Initial position of voiceover cursor. Keyboard focused item. Initial position of.
Yeah, that was in Leopard also. You can set whether it goes to the keyboard focused item or to the top of the window. Usually you'd want that on the keyboard focused item. This is where you'd want to start your voiceover cursor from.
Keyboard focus follows voiceover cursor. Check box.
Okay, this gets into the cursor tracking. That was in Leopard also.
Voiceover cursor follows keyboard focus. Insertion point follows voiceover cursor. Mouse cursor.
Okay, this is a little bit different. In Leopard, for the mouse cursor, it was separate checkboxes. Now it's a menu.
Ignores voiceover cursor. Mouse cursor. Pop-up button.
And there's a couple of items. I'll show you what they are.
Menu. Three items. Moves voiceover cursor. Check mark. Ignores voiceover cursor. Follows voiceover cursor.
Okay.
Moves voiceover cursor.
That's how you can control the mouse. I would recommend you leave that to ignores voiceover cursor, because sometimes just moving the mouse can change your screen a little bit. And there are commands to move the mouse to an item if you need to do that. And sometimes there's a couple of web pages, like on Gmail and stuff, where you do have to do that. But otherwise, there's really no reason to have the mouse pointer always follow the voiceover cursor. Unless, of course, you have some vision, and maybe that would be helpful to you, and you can change that if you wish. But I'm going to leave that set to ignores the cursor, and that way the mouse pretty much stays where it is unless you move it manually or use the voiceover command to route it to the voiceover cursor.
Allow cursor wrapping. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, allow cursor wrapping. That was in Leopard also. That determines whether when you get to the bottom, does it automatically go back to the top, or does it stay at the bottom. I've got that disabled because I want to know when I'm at the bottom better than going in a loop, but that's a personal preference.
Skip redundant labels. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, this is new. Skip redundant labels. What this is, you've noticed probably even on some of these items that the label, you've got the label to the left, and then the control itself has a label tag to it. You could filter those out. However, I would recommend you leave that unchecked because some controls may not be labeled or they may have a different label, and you may miss some labels by checking that. The only disadvantage, I guess, with leaving it unchecked is you get a little bit of redundant speech, but me personally, I'd rather have a little too much than not enough, because you can always hit the control key or press a key to, you know, skip it. So I would recommend you leave that unchecked, but it's a personal choice.
Automatically interact when using tab key. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, what this is, automatically interact when using tab key. When you use the tab key, which is a macOS command, and you come to like a table, let's say, it automatically interacts with the table. Now, we didn't really do that here because you can use your arrow keys to read a table, but if you want to read it like a column at a time or something to that effect, then you would interact with it. And if you enable this, then when you come to a table, VoiceOver will just automatically interact with it, and then you can stop interacting with it, you know, when you're done. I'm going to keep that disabled because I don't want the screen reader making assumptions, basically, that I want to interact with something. If I want to, I'll press the key. to do that. So I don't want it, you know, automatically doing that. Now that applies to tables like in the Finder and that type of thing. There is another setting, which we'll get to in a minute, for web tables, where you can set whether those have to be interacted with. That one, you don't want to require interaction there because a lot of times links and other things are contained in tables, and if you have that set to require interacting, it'll end up skipping the text. And a lot of times, too, web tables are used for formatting rather than to convey information. So I'm going to leave this unchecked, though, to automatically interact.
Help button.
Okay. Let's keep going here.
Utility category, web.
All right, web. There's a lot of new stuff in here. A lot of it's self-explanatory, but I'll provide some feedback as needed here.
Navigate web pages by.
Okay, this was in Leopard. You can choose the DOM, document object model, or group. DOM navigation is very similar to probably what you're used to if you navigate in Windows. Each item, you know, a link, a button, that type of thing. Group tries to divide the web page up into groups, like it might be the top portion of links or that type of thing. It depends on the page. And then if you want to see that group, you interact with it. and then you can see the individual items. If you don't, you simply skip it. It's a personal preference. Neither one is right or wrong, and there is actually a way in the new VoiceOver to change it on the fly with a keyboard command. And I'll show you that when we get to the keyboard commander. But I'm going to leave this set to the DOM navigation because that's what I use.
DOM order, selected radio grouping when loading a new web page.
Okay, when loading a new web page.
Speak web page summary when loading a new web page. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, I've got that unchecked. That's the option, you know, how many links, how many form controls, how many headings are on the page. You can have that automatically spoken when a page loads. So that's definitely a new feature.
Move the VoiceOver cursor to it when loading a new web page. Check checkbox.
Okay, that was in Leopard. It just moves it to the HTML area when a new page loads. That was also in a Leopard.
Automatically speak the web page when loading a new web page. Uncheck checkbox.
That's a personal preference. If you wanted to automatically start to read the page after it loads, you can do that. I have that turned off because I don't want it to do that. But also, another new thing, you can press Control-Option-A now, which is the Say All command. And that now works to read an entire web page. In Leopard, it only read the current item, but now you can read a web page from where you're at to the end of it. Or you can press Control-Option-B, that stands for beginning, I guess, and that will read from the beginning of the page to where your VoiceOver cursor is at. So you have a lot more flexibility there in reading continuously.
When navigating tables, group items within when navigating tables. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, group items within when navigating tables. This is what I was talking about with the whole interacting thing. If you keep this unchecked, then the table will be presented as part of the page, although there is an option which we'll get to have it tell you the row and the columns and that type of thing, but there's really no special table navigation mode you have to go into. It navigates it as part of the page. If you check this, then you would have to interact with a web table to be able to navigate it. And again, you probably want to leave this unchecked because a lot of times there's links and a lot of information contained in these tables, and if you miss it, you know, when the table announcement where you would normally have to interact, you would miss that text. So I would leave this unchecked, and then that won't be an issue for you. You won't have to interact with the table to get to the text.
Speak column and row numbers. Uncheck checkbox.
I've got that disabled because I find that to be extra verbiage, you know, the row and column numbers, especially if a table isn't used for actually presenting information like a TV listing or something. A lot of times it's just used for formatting. But I will show you that if we can find a table that does convey information. I'll enable that for you so you can see how that works. But I've got it unchecked because I find it to be extra verbiage. But if you want that, you can certainly do it.
Navigate images. Always navigate images. Pop-up button.
Okay, let's see what our choices are there.
Menu. Three items. Never. With descriptions. Check mark. Always. Closing
navigate
menu.
Images, and you want that always because there are some unlabeled images that are links, and if you have that set to only navigate images that are labeled, you may miss some links. So you want to keep that on always, probably.
Always. Web item rotor includes.
Okay, web item rotor. This is a new feature. You can control what items are included in the web item rotor, that control option U command I was telling you about. And that's links, you know, visited links. Well, I'll show you what they are.
Select web item rotor includes menu button. The help tag is choose the navigation categories included in the web chooser menu. Menu 10 check mark headers check mark links check mark visited links check mark non-visited links check mark auto web spots check mark form controls check mark web spots check mark tables check mark images check mark frames check mark headers.
Okay, so that's all of them. So if there are certain things you never use, for example, if you never use the auto web spot, that's the feature I was talking about where VoiceOver tries to analyze a page and, you know, determine what places you may want to go, you can uncheck that here, and then the rotor will not include it, and it will not be mentioned in the page summary. I've got them all checked, and I'm going to leave it that way.
Help button.
And there is help, of course. On each one of these, you can get help for that, for each category here in the VoiceOver utility. Okay, let's keep going here.
Utility categories, tape, sound.
Sound, you can control the sounds. I've disabled that because I really don't use the sounds, but if you want to take a look at that, you can, and I'll show you what's here.
Mute sound effects, Check box.
I've got that muted.
Enable positional audio. Check box. Help button.
And you could do positional audio like the left and right speakers to determine kind of where you're at here on the screen.
Utility count. Visuals.
Okay, visuals. Then most of that was all in Leopard, so I'm not going to cover that too much. You can determine the size of the voiceover cursor or turn off the visibility of the voiceover cursor, which I've done. Because I don't have enough vision to actually read the screen. But most of that was contained in Leopard. So I'm not going to spend too much time on that.
Commanders.
Okay, commanders. Let's take a look at this. There's some new stuff here.
Numpad. Selected tab 1 of 2.
Okay, the Numpad Commander is similar to what it was in Leopard, except with one exception. And it's the same as it will be in the Keyboard Commander, which I will show you in a minute. I think this was podcast 6 that I showed you how to define keys on the numpad. And if you've listened to that, you'll remember that everything was in one long menu. Now it's broken down into submenus based on the category of the command. That's the one difference with the numpad commander. Other than that, it's the same. What I want to show you here is the keyboard commander, and we'll define a keystroke. I've actually been meaning to do this, but I figured I would wait for the podcast to do it so I could show you how it's done. We have the numpad commander, and then we've got
keyboard tab 2 of 2.
Keyboard commander. And what this does is it allows us to set commands for voiceover functions without having to press the control and the option key. And like I was saying earlier, there's some commands that have no control option keystroke that we can define. So let's go ahead and select this.
Press keyboard tab 2 of 2.
Okay, let's see what we've got here.
Enable keyboard commander. Uncheck checkbox.
I'm going to go ahead and enable that.
Check. Interact with alert dialog. Keyboard commander enabled. When you use the right option key for keyboard commander, use the left option key for application keyboard shortcuts.
I'm going to change it, though. You can change what option key is used, and I'm going to change that,
default button.
I think. But
press OK, default button, closing dialog.
And it tells you the default button now, too. That's a new voiceover feature, too, a little thing. Okay, let's see what we've got here now.
Keyboard, enable keyboard commander, checkbox, use left option key, radio button 1 of 2, right option key, select keyboard commander, empty table.
I want to set this to the left option key.
Right left option key, radio prep. Interact with alert dialog. Keyboard commander enabled. When you use the left option key for keyboard commander, use the right option key for application keyboard shortcuts.
Okay, that's not a problem.
Okay, press OK, default.
All button. Right then, so let's see what we've got here.
Right option key, radio, keyboard commander, empty table.
Okay, empty table. That's where it stores our keyboard commands that we're going to set here. So let's go ahead and keep going here.
Add button, delete. Dimmed button, help button.
Okay, we want to add here.
Delete add button, edit text, blank.
All right, let's see what we've got here. Let's go to the top.
Blank, row 1 of 1. Command, menu button, menu button, menu button.
Oh, I think it...
Stop interacting with keyboard commander, table, 1 row selected. Keyboard key, blank, command, menu button, add button, delete button, help button, help, add button. Keyboard commander, table, 1 row selected. Keyboard key, blank, command, menu button, row 1 of 1.
Okay, so what we need to do, I think, here is...
Left option key, select keyboard commander, table, 1 row selected, keyboard key, blank, command, menu button, row 1 of 1.
Okay, so we need to probably...
Menu,
set,
14 items.
Set the key first, I think, or the command here.
General, submenu, information, navigation, text, web... Submenu.
Okay, what I want to do here is set an option to go between the DOM and the group mode. How about option... What do you think? Option W? How about that, option W for web navigation... Or web... web navigation, which one to use. So we'll do option W. So I think that's in the web category. That's where I would expect it to be. Let's see.
Web, submenu, 20 items. Go to next auto web spot. Go to next column. Go to next frame. Go to next web spot. Go to previous auto web spot. Go to previous column. Go to previous frame. Go to previous web spot. Open web item rotor. Read from beginning. Read link address. Read next sentence. Read previous sentence. Read web page statistics. Remove web spot. Set the sweet spot. Set web spot. Toggle table interactability. Toggle table row and column indices.
Oh, that's a nice... thing. There's a setting to set for that. I may actually set that also. for option T, maybe.
Toggle navigation, toggle web navigation DOM or group.
Toggle web navigation DOM or group. That's what we want. Let's see what else is in here, though.
Go to next auto web spot.
Okay, that's the last one.
Toggle web navigation DOM or group.
So let's press enter here.
Closing menu. Closing menu. Keyboard commander, table, one row selected. Keyboard key, blank, command, toggle web navigation DOM or group, menu button, row 1 of 1.
Now, how to get to the actual command where you type that in, I think we actually have to interact with this.
Interact with keyboard commander, table, keyboard key, blank.
Okay, let's see what's in the keyboard focus.
Keyboard commander, table, has keyboard focus, blank, command, toggle web navigation DOM or group, menu button. Keyboard key, blank.
Now, if I hit W, no, I can't do that.
Blank.
Interesting.
Toggle web navig edit text, blank.
Oh, okay, there it is. Okay, what you have to do, you set the key first, I think, and then you have an edit box. So I'm just going to press W.
W.
There we go. All right, now if we stop interacting with that.
Stop interacting with keyboard commander, table, one row selected. Keyboard key, W, command, toggle web navigation DOM or group, menu button. Row 1 of 1.
There we go. I'm going to set one more here, too. The table columns, whether it says, whether it gives you that or not. That's a nice feature, too. So let's go ahead and add one more here.
Add button. Edit text, blank.
Okay, I see how. Okay, when you hit add, you're in the edit text first. So for this one, let's do option T. Options assumed, of course, for table index. So I'm just going to press T.
T.
Okay. Now, I think we're interacting with that table, too. Let's stop interacting with that.
Stop interacting with keyboard commander, table, one row selected, keyboard key, T, command, menu button, row 2 of 2.
That's it. Now we press a space on that for the menu.
Space. T. T.
Or, actually, okay, we have to press tab. I see. I'm still
space.
In the edit box. Let me...
T. T. T.
Let me erase that and...
Space. T.
We want to do a T here, okay.
T.
There we go. All right, now let's tab.
Run Apple Script script. Time of day, menu button.
No, I don't want to do that. It must be something that's already defined in here. I thought I had erased those. There were some that came with this that I took out. But that's okay. We can go ahead and change this.
Menu, 14 items. General, Informate, Navig, Text, Web, Submit. Toggle web, toggle table row and column indices.
There we go. Press enter.
Closing menu, toggle table row and column indices. Menu.
All right, now let's stop interacting with that table and let's see what we've got for our two
items.
Stop
interacting with keyboard commander, table, one row selected. Keyboard key, T, command, toggle table row and column indices, menu button. T, toggle table row and column indices, menu button. T, toggle table row and column indices, menu button.
Now
row
that's
2 of 2.
Now that's interesting. I wonder if I've defined two of them here. Let's see. I think I have. Well,
Add button, toggle web navigation DOM or group, menu button. Toggle table row and column indices, menu button. Stop interacting with keyboard T, toggle table row and column indices, menu button. Row 2 of 2. T, toggle table.
This is reading. This is a little interesting.
Interact with keyboard commander, table, row 2 of 2. Selected. Command. Toggle table row and column indices. Menu button. T. Command. Toggle web navigation. Keyboard key. W.
There we go. Okay. So you probably have to read that by interacting with that table. But yeah, we've got it. So we've now defined two keyboard keys. Option W will change the web navigation from DOM to group. And option T will change the announcing of the columns and rows in a web table.
Stop interacting.
So that's good. Okay, let's see if there's anything else in the VoiceOver utility that's new.
Utility categories, table, one row selected, Braille.
I don't have a Braille display, so I wouldn't be able to show you too much of what's new there. So that's pretty much the new stuff in the VoiceOver utility. So that's the new things you can set. Let's go ahead and command Q out of here.
Finder, desktop, Mac.
All right. Let's go ahead. I'm sure a lot of what you've been waiting for is the web stuff, because that's where a lot of the new features are at. So let's go ahead and open up Safari, and let's see what we can do here and put some of the new features through its paces. All right, so I'm going to open up... actually, I use WebKit, which is it's what Safari uses for its web engine, and I usually use the newest nightly builds of that, and it just uses the newer web rendering engine that than what came with the Safari 4. Although it still opens the Safari browser, it's just using the newer version of the web engine. All these features, of course, are available in Safari. I just use WebKit to get the newest fixes and additions. So what I'm going to do is do Control F3 to go down to the dock.
Map dock. Text edit.
And
11
press
of 20.
W.
WebKit. 7 of 20.
And press enter.
Web Finder. Desktop. HTML content.
All right. So let's think of a nice page we could go to that's going to have a lot of stuff on it that we could work with first. And I'm going to probably take you to several sites to show you some different features. Let's go to CNN. That's a page that's always got a lot of stuff on it, and we'll really be able to try out some of the new features there. So let's do Command-L.
Open location.
And type CNN.com.
Rbuilder.m.
And as you type, it tries to complete what you type, which was the reason for the extra speech there. Okay, CNN.com should be typed in. Let's check.
CNN.com/.
There we go. Press enter.
HTML content.
Okay.
Safari busy. Safari ready. Scroll area. HTML content.
Okay, so it'll say busy while it loads, and it is a little bit slower when it first loads the page than Leopard was because it's doing much more analysis of the page. Now, I don't have it set to give us the web summary automatically, but let's just get a summary of this. You can request it at any time by doing Control-Option-Shift-I.
Advertisement. Advertisement.
That's interesting. Let's see.
Interact with HTML
content. Oh, I had to. Okay. There we go. Okay, now let's get a summary here.
Advertisement.
Oh, maybe this put up a pop-up window.
HTML. Advertise. Zoom button.
Let me see if this threw up a pop-up window on us.
Menu bar. Apple. Window. CNN.com. Checkmark. Advertisement.
It did. Ugh, that's annoying. Well, we'll deal with that. Well, just Command-W and close that.
Zoom close window. Now in window, CNN.com, breaking news, U.S., world, weather.
All right.
CNN News for link. CNN.
Now let's get a summary.
Page has 6 headers, 279 links, 38 auto web spots, 12 form controls, 3 visited links.
Okay. So, we can just navigate this in the usual way, although you'll find that it's a lot faster than Leopard was.
Vertical link, web, clickable edit text, blank, submit button, list 13 items.
Okay, so that's, you'll probably notice a lot of new things already. It tells you, when you come to a list and it tells you how many items, that's new.
Visited link, home, blank, world, link, US, link, politics, link, crime news, link, entertainment news, celebrities, movies, and TV from CNN.com.
Now that's a new feature. See, it reads you not only the title tag, but the alt tag also in the help text. So, as far as I know, none of the Windows screen readers give you that much information. I think it's nice. Let's go back a link here.
Link, crime news, court, celebrity, docket, and law news from CNN.com. The help tag is crime news, court, celebrity, docket, and law news from CNN.com.
See, it gives you the title and the alt tag. I think most of the Windows screen readers would just tell you like crime.
Link. Entertainment.
I think that's all they would say. So that's one thing that I love about VoiceOver, the new thing. If the web page provides the information, VoiceOver will definitely give it to you now.
Link. Help. Link. Health. Health news, medicine, diet, fitness, and parenting from CNN.com. The help tag is health news, medicine.
All right. Let's go ahead and let's look at that.
Press HTML content.
Okay.
Safari busy.
And it'll say busy while
Safari ready.
While it loads and analyzes the page. Okay, now let's go ahead and get a summary of this page.
Page has 9 headers, 286 links, 37 auto web spots, 6 form controls, 4 visited links.
Okay, so before we really take a look at what's on this page, let me show you the rotor. In Leopard, when you pressed Control-Option-U, you would just get a list of links. Now, that's you can still do that, but it does much, much more now. And also, the item chooser, that's something I made heavy use of in Leopard, and if you've heard my other podcast, you'll remember that. That I made heavy use of that. That's still available, and you can still use that if you wish. Nothing's been removed, only things have been added. So now, let's do Control-Option-U here, and see how this has been expanded. This is really cool.
Open Web Item Router, Form Controls, 6 items.
Okay, so what we can do now is we're in a list, and you press the left and right arrow to determine what you want a list of, and the up and down arrows to read the list of that item. So we're sitting on form controls now. If I arrow down,
clickable edit text, submit button, clickable edit text, clickable edit text.
So we've got a bunch of edit boxes here. Let's go ahead and right arrow.
Web spots, 0 items. Visited links, 4 items. Nup tables, 0 items. Nup tables, 0 items. Frames, 5 items. Images, 49 items. Headers, 8 items. Links, 284 items.
So, what if we wanted to read down that a little bit? Let's just press the down arrow key here.
CNN.com, CNN.com, app breaking news, U.S., world weather, entertainment, and video news from CNN.com. World News International headlines, stories, and video from CNN.com. U.S. news headlines, stories, and video from CNN.com.
See, when it gives you both the alt and the title tag, it really does give you a lot of info about the link.
Auto web spots, 36 items.
Okay, auto web spots, you can see a list here. This is, again, it analyzes the page and tries to figure out what you might be most interested in going to. But let's see what some of these are.
CNN.com, link, list, hot topics link, health main link, updated free September 4th, 2009, clickable text.
Okay. And that's another thing, too, that it'll point out now, clickable text. This is some sites, I'm not really a fan of this, but a lot of sites do it. They'll have text that's clickable. JAWS, I think, calls it mouse overs. WindowEyes calls it unclicks. VoiceOver will now indicate those by saying it's clickable. So it does tell you that also. The auto web spots, what I found, what it does is it might be any number of things. It might be a table. It might be the end of a list. It might be after a series of links, so there's several things that it may think you want to go to. But that's kind of how this works. The rotor. So you can get a list of pretty much anything and then jump right to it. So for instance, if we wanted to, let's say we wanted to go to this
conditions heading level 4.
Well, let's say we just wanted to go to that. That's an auto web spot. Let me just press enter.
Heading level 4, conditions, clickable.
And that's a that's also clickable. I'm not sure what that would take us to, but that's a clickable text also. Okay, let me show you the quick nav. And again, a lot of MacBook users would appreciate this. If you didn't have a numpad, well, you could define, I guess, option keys, like option left and option right arrow just to navigate, but Apple's provided a better way. What we can do here is, I'm actually going to turn off the numpad. I don't have to do that, but just to kind of simulate not having that available at the moment.
Numpad commander off.
Okay, so now if I wanted to navigate at this point with the VoiceOver cursor, I'd have to do Control Option left and right, like this.
Link. Teen who cries blood gets help from experts. Heading level. Link. Teen who cries blood gets heading level 4. Empowered patient. Link. Should you friend your doctor on Facebook?
Interesting. So I was using the control and the option keys there. Well, if that's all you had available to you, that could get pretty cumbersome. So what Apple has done here is provided what's called Quick Nav, and the way you turn it on is you press the left and right arrow keys simultaneously. So I'm going to do that now.
Quick Nav on.
Okay. Now I can just press the left and right arrow keys to navigate this without holding the control and the option keys. But if I type any letters, they will show up in a form field and then that type of thing. So it doesn't totally lock the control and the option keys down, but it makes navigating much easier. So if I just do left and right here.
Heading level blank. Teen who cries blood gets help from experts. Heading level 4. Conditions blank. Allergy injectors are liberating and daunting. Heading level 4, conditions, clickable. Link. Full story. 9-year-old Misaki Hana, like other people with severe, life-threatening allergies, carries around an epinephrine auto-injector, also known as an EpiPen. It holds the promise of life even as it burdens the owner with thoughts of mortality. Clickable. Link. RSS icon. Link. Follow this topic.
Okay. Now, there's some other keys we have here for the quick nav. If we press the down arrow and the right arrow simultaneously, well, we can't do much of that, but what that would do is allow us to interact with something. Let's go...
Link. RSS icon. Link. Let. Heading level 1 link. Allergy injectors are liberating and daunting.
Okay, that's another thing they fixed, too, I'll point out. In Leopard, if you had a heading and a link that was in the same place, you'd have to interact with the heading to get the link. That's been fixed. You now don't have to do that.
Heading level 4. Conditions. Clickable. Link. Allergy injector. Heading level 4. Conditions. Clickable.
Okay. So let's see if we can interact with that text. To do that, again, you press the down arrow and the right arrow.
Interact with text, word, conditions, character, C.
And now we can read...
Conditions. C-O-N-I.
Just press the shift key and the arrow keys and that type of thing. If we want to stop interacting, and this works any place too, not just on the web, by the way. If we want to stop interacting, we can press... down arrow and left arrow.
Stop interacting with text.
Here we go. Now, we have a couple other keys. If we press the up arrow and the left arrow or right arrow, what those do is it rotors through the different navigation options that we can use go through using QuickNav. So we have
links.
Links.
Headers.
Headers.
Images.
Images.
Frames.
Frames, and it'll only show you what's on the page, too. It won't give you stuff that's no sense going to if the page doesn't have it.
Tables. Non-visited links. Visited links. Web spots. Form controls. Auto web spots. Links. Headers.
Okay. So those are the choices there. Now...
Links. Auto web spots. Form controls.
We can go back the other way, too, by pressing up arrow and the right arrow.
Submit button. Web spots. Visited links. Non-visited links. Tables, frames, images, headers, links, auto web spots.
Okay, so that's kind of how that works. Now, normally, too, what it shows you is an option for navigation, which is just go to the different items. It didn't give us that here. I wonder if we just turn off the quick nav and turn that back on, if it'll put it back to that. Let's see.
Quick nav off. Quick nav on. List 13 items.
Yeah, so that does that. Sometimes it shows up as a choice, too. But if you want to activate the item that you're sitting on, you press the up and the down arrow keys simultaneously. So that makes it a little easier for the MacBook users, I think, for navigating without always having to hold the control and the option keys down. All right, I'm going to go ahead and turn off the quick nav here and turn on the numpad commander again.
Quick nav off. Numpad commander on.
All right, then. Okay, let's see if we can, let's check out one of these tables on this site and see if that has any meaningful information in it or not. And maybe I can show you that.
Link.
So I'm going to, I think if I do Control Option Command T, it should take us to the next table.
Link. Health. Link.
Maybe not. Okay, let's do it this way. We'll bring up the rotor.
Open web item rotor. Auto web spot. Form control. Web spot visited links. 4 items. No tables. 0 items.
Ah, there's no tables on this page. Okay. All right, then. Let's go to... I bet TV Guide would probably have some tables. Let's go try that page.
Link.
I'm going to escape out of the web rotor here. Okay.
Open location. V-E-D-E-M.
I think it's just...
The help tab is...
I think it's just tvguide.com.
tvguide.com. 8 HTML content.
Okay.
Link. Click here to find out more. Link. 1000 underline. Grass-set.
Let's see if we have any tables on this page.
Open web item rotor. Tables. 0 items.
No,
Link.
We don't.
What? Window. TV guide. TV listings. Online videos. Entertainment.
Maybe we have to go to one of the listings. Let's see.
Link. Link. Click here to find out. Link. 1000 underline grass-728x90-1l-n-usd.gif.
An unlabeled link.
Link. TVGuide.com. All of TVGuide.com. Selected radio button 1 of 2. Videos only. Radio edit text. Blank. Search image. Link. Click here to find out more. Link. Login.gif vertical line. Vertical line. Link. New user SIGNUP. Vertical line. Link. Free newsletter.gif.
These links aren't labeled, which VoiceOver does do a better job, too, now of telling you the URL of things if there's no label. But really, these sites should be labeled.
New underline, home.gif, image. New underline, what's.gif, image. New underline, news.gif, image. New underline, video.gif. New underline, news.gif, image.
Now, I wonder if those are clickable or not. VoiceOver doesn't say they are, but let's see if they are if we select, like, that news one.
Press new underline news.gif image.
Yeah, it's this is a bit of a non-standard site.
New under HTML content. Scroll area. Scroll area. Link. Click here to find HTML link. Link. Click here to find out more.
Let's see if we can get past all this and go to the next heading.
Heading level 1 news. Heading level 2 link. Today's news. List 24 items. 090905 NG Harman 1S.
Okay, let's see now if we got any tables.
Open web item router, tables, 0 items.
No, 0909. Okay. Maybe this site won't work for that too well. Well, I'll show you the other stuff that I was going to show you, and then as we go along here, if we come across a table, it'll tell us, and we'll see if we can demonstrate that. Okay, let's play a little bit with the web spots. I actually haven't done much with this yet, so this will be new for me also. What we can do is we can set places of interest on a page that we always want to go to. I'm trying to think of a good one here. Okay. All right, let's see if this works. Now, I don't know how well this is going to work if the page is really different, but let's go to eBay, because what eBay has is whenever you do a search, there's usually what you want to see is the place where it says categories, because that gives you the categories where the item is found in, and you can pick what you're interested in. So let's see if we can set a web spot for that spot on the page. We'll do a search, and then we'll set the place where it says categories, where the categories start. We'll see if we can set that as a web spot, and then we'll see if it works for other pages. Well, actually, it may not, because, well, that may not be a good example now that I think of it, because that's a specific search. Let's try to find something a little more that's a little more constant, perhaps. Okay, I got it. Let's go to TrueTV.com. That's a channel that I like. There's the place on the schedule page where the schedule starts for the current day. Let's set a web spot there. And then we will see if we can make that a sweet spot also, so it'll set that whenever we return back to it. So, and that's also a table, I think, too. So that page should give us a lot of stuff to work with. Let's go to TrueTV.com.
Open location. HTML content.
Okay.
Link.
Just 5, 2, 4, 6, for fun, let's see what auto web spots VoiceOver's created for us on this page. Let's see how many we've got, first off.
Page has 25 headers, 205 links, 16 auto web spots, 2 form controls.
Okay, it's got 16 places that it thinks we might be interested heading in. Level. Let's navigate to those and see what they are.
Heading level 3, must watch.
Must watch, okay.
Submit. Submit button. Heading level 3, must watch.
Okay, so the first one is it took us after the form, like a search form, it took us to must watch.
List 45 items. Link, new, new, clickable, link, new.
Okay.
The help tab is new.
Let's see what the next auto web spot is.
Definition, list 4 items.
Okay, so it took us to the beginning of a list.
End of list.
Okay, so it took us to the end of the first list and like to the beginning of the next one.
Definition, link, top shelf talk.
Let's see what the next one is.
Definition, list 4 items. Link. Mugshots of the week 9409, end of list.
Okay, so see what it's doing is places where it thinks you might be interested in are like the end of a list and the start of another element or like sometimes a heading, so it just does its best to try to figure out places you may want to go to. All right, let's get to the schedule link, and we could get there several ways. We could pull up the links list. For this one, though, I'll just use the item chooser. Control-Option-I here.
Safari busy. Busy. Item chooser menu 294 item. Two items link. Schedule.
There we are. Press enter.
Link. Schedule. The help tag is schedule.
Okay, so they've got the title and the alt tag the same on that. Anyway, we'll just go ahead and select that.
HTML content.
Okay, let's see if there's any tables on this page.
Open web item router. Tables. Zero items.
Heading no tables on this one either. Okay. Now, this one's going to get interesting, too, because the schedule's contained within a frame, and I wonder if it will still take us to the right spot with a frame. Let's see. Let's navigate this by a frame.
Frame zero. Advertisement image. External links.
All right. Let's skip that. Well, maybe that's the only frame there is here. Let's see. Let's take a look at the web
Open
router
again. Web item router. Tables. Zero. Non-visited links. Visited links. Web spots. Form control. Auto web spot. Links. One hunt headers. One item. Images. 15 items. Frames. Two items. Frame zero. ADSONAR serve 960024 frame.
I wonder if that's the frame we need. Actually, let's see what we got for headings.
Frame zero. Images. Header. One true TV. Not reality. Actual heading level 1 link. True TV list 9 items. 3 okay. Sublists.
Okay. So let's see if we can get... Maybe the auto web spot will take us there. This page is...
Link. Line parent 12.00 p.m.
Okay.
Rating. Title.
I believe we found it. Yes.
Show. Time. End of list. Link. Next week.
Okay. So what I want to do here, the start of the... The schedule is right here.
End of list. Time.
Time. That's what we want. So I want to set this as a web spot. So to do that, I believe, let me go to the keyboard help and make sure I've got my keys right here.
Starting keyboard help. Type keys to hear their names. Hold down the voiceover keys while typing to hear voiceover commands.
I think it's Control-Option-Command-Right-Bracket. Or, I'm sorry, Control-Option-Command-Right-Brace, I think it is. Let me see.
Right brace. Set web spot. Set a web spot at this location.
Yes, that's it. Okay, so that's what we want. So let's get out of the help.
Escape. Stopping keyboard. Show. Time.
All right, and I'm going to press that key now. Control-Option-Command-Right-Brace.
Web spot set.
Great. Okay. So now, if we go back to the top of the page...
Link. Top underline parent Saturday, sept link. Stop interacting with HTML comp frame advertisement image.
Now, let's do, I think it's control option command right bracket, and of course we could set other keys for this on the numpad or, you know, on the, with the keyboard commander to make that a little bit easier, but for now I'll just use the default key. I think it's control option command right bracket to go to the next spot. Let's see.
Starting keyboard help. Control, Option, Command, right bracket, go to next web spot, move,
okay,
escape.
It is. So let's press that and let's see what we get. Okay, see, that didn't work, and I wonder if it's because...
External links, True TV Friends, Image, Link, Ebom's World, Link, the world's most imitated video site, list 5 items.
I wonder if it's because it's contained within a frame.
List 8 items, About, Link.
Let's
contact
see if I can,
Turner image.
Let's see if I can get back
heading,
to that again.
Listing items, level 2. End of list 6 item, link. Most dare, end list 6 item, link. Specials, end of list, link. Videos, and edit text, frame 0.
Okay, let's see.
Advertisement image. External links, frame 0. Interact Saturday, listing items.
See, okay.
Link, Monday, August 31st, 2009. Time.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's what... Okay. I don't know if I'd call that a bug or if that's a design. That worked. If something's contained within a frame, you have to interact with that frame before it will take you there. I don't know if that can be changed or not or if that's by design, but on a web page with frames, that is something to be aware of, that will happen. Now, what if we... set that as the sweet spot. I wonder if that will work. But that is it sets voiceover to automatically go to that spot on the page when the page loads. Let's see if that will work, or if that also is an issue with frames. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, we're sitting on this...
end of lit, time.
Time. Now, I wonder if I can just reset that as a hotspot if I just do a... Because the way you set the sweet spot is to do Control-Option-Command-Right brace twice, and that will set it as the sweet spot. Let's see.
Web spot set. Sweet spot set.
All right, great. Now, let's go back to the previous page.
Back, HTML content. Dumbest, clickable. Link, True TV.
Okay, now let's go back to that schedule link.
Safari busy, 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 busy.
And it takes a second while it pulls up the...
Close button, zoom button, minimize, empty scroll area.
Let's see where
empty scroll
here.
Area. Heading level 1 link.
Okay, there we are.
Item chooser menu.
Okay,
300.
So now we'll do a schedule.
Two items. Visited link. Schedule. Visited link. Schedule.
And let's see
the
what...
help tab is. Schedule.
Let's see what this does now when we load this.
HTML content. Heading level 1 link. True TV. Not reality. Actuality.
See, it frames really seem to give it a problem. If we go down to that frame...
Frame 0.
Now, if I interact with that...
Interact with frame 0 link. Top underline, parental underline, controls.gif. Saturday, September link. Top underline, set list eight items. Link, Monday, link, end of list, time.
Yeah, so that really... if it's got frames, that really seems to hang it up. Let's go to one maybe that that doesn't have frames, and we'll see if that works. But that is something to be aware of with those web spots. I'm going to go ahead and erase this web spot. We do Control-Option-Command left brace.
Show time.
Okay, let's see. Am I hitting the key right? There we go. I didn't really confirm it was erased, though, so I'm not sure. I may have to do a little more checking into that as far as if that's supposed to work with frames or if it confirms that it's erased. Let me just check one other thing here. Let's see if we go to the previous spot, if that's still there.
No web spot set.
No, so it did erase it, but it didn't say it was erased. Interesting. Okay. Let's go to a page with no frames, and we'll just see if that works a little bit better for the auto web spot. Let's go to... I'm trying to think of a good one here. How about the Apple site? We do that. And let's say we wanted to do maybe the support link as a spot. Let's see if that works.
Open location.
Okay, so go to apple.com. All right.
Safari busy. Safari ready.
Okay, so let's take a look at this.
Visited link. Apple link. Store link. Mac link. iPod link. iPhone link. Download link. Support.
Okay, there's the support link. Let's say we wanted to set that as the spot, you know, and the sweet spot. So which basically means whenever that page opens, it would take us right to that spot. So we'll do a Control-Option-Command-Right brace twice.
Web spot set. Sweet spot set.
Okay. Now I'm going to close the Safari window here.
Close window.
And I'm going to go ahead and do Command-N here for a new window now.
New window. Now in window. Untitled.
And let's go back to the Apple page.
Safari busy. 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 Safari.
Okay.
Finder,
let's see.
Desktop, Macintosh, Finder, WebKit, busy, busy, Safari.
Okay.
Safari busy.
And this is that our little busy. Quirk. I'm not
busy.
Sure why it
busy.
Does
Safari.
This, but there are times when it VoiceOver seems
Finder.
To think that the browser is
Finder.
Busy and you have
desktop.
To command tab out and back. I'm not sure why that is or if that's a known issue or if that's
WebKit.
Something
Safari.
That will be fixed.
Safari has no windows. New window.
Something that
now in window
will be addressed, but okay.
Safari busy. Busy.
Hmm. Okay.
Safari.
What I'm going to actually have to do here is turn off VoiceOver, probably.
VoiceOver off.
And bring it back. That usually clears it.
VoiceOver on. Safari. Window. Untitled.
So again, that may be something that Apple will
open location,
address.
Go
but
PPA.com.
So Apple.com.
Unhighlighted. HTML link. Support.
And there we go. Okay, that worked. That worked. It took us right to the support link. So it works, but what to be aware of is, now I wonder if I can navigate that too. I think the sweet spot is considered a hot spot also. If I go back to the top of the page.
List 7 items.
Now if I do Control Option Command Right Bracket.
Link. Support.
Yeah, okay, so a sweet spot is considered a web spot also. I'm going to go ahead and delete that because I don't want to always go to that, but I'm going to go ahead and delete that. Okay.
List. Visiting link. Apple. Link. Support.
Oh, I got to do okay, left brace to delete it. Okay.
Web spot removed.
Web spot removed. Okay. So it didn't, yeah, it didn't really confirm that on the previous one. So frames, when it comes to web spots, frames are gonna be a problem a little bit. If the page, you know, doesn't have those, which fortunately not too many do now, you should be fine and it works great. But frames, if you set something within a certain frame, it's going to be a problem, and it may not work as expected. Again, I'm not sure if that's a bug or if that's a design thing. So, and that thing where it always is saying it's the busy when it really, you know, isn't, and you got to restart VoiceOver, that, again, may be a minor thing that's, you know, fixed by Apple in a an update to the operating system. But that's some of the new web features, and it's really good. The stuff they've added really is a great thing. The other thing in Mail that works really good, well, this is actually a feature in Snow Leopard itself now, not so much VoiceOver, but when you're in a message, you now have an insertion point to work with. So you can actually select text within an email message, and VoiceOver announces much more the links and the headings and that type of thing that are in an email message. Unfortunately, Flash still is not accessible. Adobe still does not seem willing to provide access to the Flash on the Mac, and hopefully that will change. There is a petition now at MacCessibility.com, I believe the site is. There's a petition. You may want to go up to that site and sign the petition so Adobe, you know, to tell Adobe that, you know, hey, we need access to this, because most sites you can get by without it. It's just extra content, but there are some, particularly like for schools and that type of thing, where it's required. And certainly Apple's done all they can. You know, they've provided the accessibility APIs, but, you know, it's Adobe that's the culprit here. But, you know, at the end of the day, if somebody needs to access it, it doesn't really matter whose fault it is. The fact is it doesn't work on the Mac, and, you know, for a user, that's really all that matters. So hopefully eventually Adobe will change their opinion on that and make that accessible. So I think I've covered everything in this that I want to, with the VoiceOver utility and the web. And the other thing that's been fixed, for those of you that are familiar with Leopard, they have fixed in Disk utility and in the Bootcamp utility. Before in Leopard, you could not change the size of a partition. That's been fixed. You can now interact with the vertical splitter, and you can change the size then. So that works really well. So at this point, I think I'm going to go ahead and conclude this show. I think I've covered all the major things that I wanted to. Oh, no, I didn't. There's one more thing. And let's do that. Labeling things. There is one more thing. Let's go in and label a button. With Skype, there's a good example of this, because there's a lot of items that have help tags, but they don't have actual text descriptions. So let's go ahead and take a look at how that works. All right. I've exited out of Safari, and I'm back on the desktop. Let's go ahead and open up Skype. So we'll go back to the dock. I got all my commonly used applications on the dock. We'll do Control F3.
Map, dock, Skype, 8 of 20.
Here we go, and press enter.
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, selected volume. Skype, window, Skype trademark, close button. Skype busy.
All right, so here is Skype. Let's go ahead and navigate through this window, and I'll show you one of the buttons that I'm referring to here that's not really labeled.
Online, menu, but Microego, but $0 and zeros button. The help tag is show history.
Okay, so there's one right there. The button itself is not labeled. Now, with the help tag, of course, you can determine what it is. But what if there comes a time where, you know, you may not have that? If you know what the button does, or if you can get somebody sighted to help you. Now, ideally, of course, we shouldn't even need this. The developers should be labeling stuff properly, but we don't live in an ideal world. Anyway, we're sitting on this button, and there is no text label to it, just the help tag. So if we wanted to label this, what we would do is press Control-Option-Slash.
VoiceOver, dialog, item label, enter the label for the current item.
Okay.
Enter the label for the current item. Edit text, blank.
So we could type in show history here.
S-H-O-W space H-S-T-O-Y, show history.
Okay, and let's see if we have any other options in this window.
Cancel, save, default button.
And that's all we got is cancel and save. So one interesting feature that Apple might consider adding in the future, this would be nice, is to automatically insert the label that's the help tag, basically. And then if you wanted to change it, you could. But anyway, let's go ahead and save this.
Press Skype, window.
Okay, now let's navigate to that button and see what it says.
$0 and zeros, show history button. The help tag is show history.
And there we are. It says show history button. So it's just as if that did have a text label. So that's a great feature also. You can label, you know, buttons that may not be labeled or check boxes or anything like that. You can assign a label to them. I'm going to go ahead and take that label out because the help tag is sufficient in this case, and really no need for that, but I wanted to demonstrate it for you.
VoiceOver, dialogue, I show history, show history. Y-R-S.
So I just deleted that out of there.
Edit text, blank. Cancel, save, default button.
Save that.
Skype with zero button. The help tag is...
So there we go. I took the label out of there, but that's how you can label... That's how you can label buttons. So we'll go ahead and quit out of Skype at this point.
Finder, desktop.
Okay. So I think that's everything I wanted to cover. That's a good overview of the new features. Perhaps if I can find a site that has some table stuff, we'll do that in the next show. I do want to do a podcast. There's a couple other third-party applications that I want to show you with VoiceOver. And we may do that in the next one along with tables. So anyway, I hope everybody's enjoyed this one. This gives you a good overview of the new features in VoiceOver. There's a couple of little, you know, quirks, as you've seen. But overall, I think it's a good upgrade. And when you consider that it's $29 for the operating system, which includes all of this, I mean, you can't even get an upgrade to a screen reader in Windows, just a screen reader usually, for $29. And this is $29 for a whole new operating system and the new screen reader. It's really a bargain deal. The enhancements that Apple's made, I think, are great. And a couple little quirks to work out, and once they do that, which I'm sure they will, it's only the first release of 10.6. So, you know, you figure there's bound to be something that was missed. And I'm sure they'll correct that. 10.6.1 is actually already in testing for the operating system, so that should be out pretty soon. We'll see what kind of fixes that contains. Anyway, as always, if any of you have any comments, questions, would love to hear from you. Feel free to send me an email. My email address is n0oxy, that's my ham radio call, n0oxy at charter, charter, .net. And I would love to hear from you. Keep those comments coming. They're much appreciated. I've gotten a lot of email from people saying, you know, thanks to your shows, I've decided to get a Mac, and that really makes it all worth it. So keep those comments coming for sure. And we will talk to everyone soon. Take care.